Good. It's a great group there. Today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday is the commemoration of what happened the week before Jesus went to the cross, and people were so excited when he entered Jerusalem this time, and this was the last time he entered in Jerusalem. They were so excited, and they recognized that the work of God was amidst them, amongst them. And so, you know, religion was not stilted, it was not legalistic, it was not materialistic, it wasn't selfish religion, but it was a relationship. God wanted to be with them, and because of that, they celebrated. And that's the same thing for us to do. You know, religious faith is not supposed to be stilted or boring or legalistic, but religious faith is supposed to be relationship with Jesus. Amen? Amen. So let's celebrate his presence in our lives and that he's with us always. Let me invite you to turn to the book of Mark to chapter 1. And in our theme for this year, All In, it fits very neatly into what we're going to be talking about as we talk about the life of Christ and why he came to be with us and why he went to the cross and what that all accomplished. And that God was with us as well as when the people recognized and realized that God was with them and they turned out and just celebrated that fact. And so we're going to talk today about how God helps us overcome temptation out of Mark chapter 1. Let me start with a story. Three young men got into a bus in Detroit, a public transportation bus, and they saw a guy sitting in the back by himself. And so they thought, well, he's by himself. This is somebody we can do something with. So they went and sat around him, and they started to insult the guy. And they insulted him time and time again. Anybody else would have gotten so irate about that, you know, they would have done something. But this man sat very quietly and very stoically and took all of that. And they kept insulting, trying to goad him into a reaction. And finally, the bus got to his stop, and he got up and stood up and started to leave. And he pulled out one of his business cards. And he gave it to one of the guys and just walked out. Never said a word and just walked out. The guy looked at his business card and said, Joe Lewis, boxer. They had been trying to pick a fight with the heavyweight champion, boxing champion of the world. He was champion for 12 years. They were trying to pick a fight with this guy. But he resisted the temptation to react. So we're going to talk about temptation today and how what God gives us, the resources that he gives us in order to stand for the Lord. And so I'm going to use the story of Jesus in Capernaum. Actually, if the Israelis today, I've been corrected. It's not Capernaum. It's Capernaum. Nahum. You know, they have this... You know, in their language. So it's not Capernaum or Capernaum. It's Capernaum. And so, hope I said it right, okay? When I see my guide next time, I'll tell him I said it that way, and he'll be very pleased, okay? Capernaum, okay. Mark chapter 1, 21. I'm not going to read all the way to 43. But this is the incident. Jesus went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came... Jesus went to the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit. Now, by the way, let me stop here. It is not lawful for anybody who has an evil spirit to enter the synagogue. If you are unclean, you can't go in the synagogue. You have to go through a thorough cleansing, you know, ritual cleansing process before you can even go in the synagogue. So for a man to have an evil spirit to be in the synagogue meant that no one knew that this man was possessed. Okay, he was a mole, so to speak. You know, he was the spirit was laying low for a good opportunity. Okay, let's keep going. The spirit cried out, "What do you want of us, with us, Jesus of Nazareth? How have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Verse 25, "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching with an authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." And news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. So I'm going to talk about temptation today and what temptation Jesus faced here. You know, Mark, this is in chapter 1 of Mark. Mark avoids all the story about Jesus' birth, you know, because some of the books like Matthew and Luke have extensive conversations about Jesus' birth. Mark settles right into, he talks about John, that starts with John the Baptist. That means he starts when Jesus was about 30, or, yeah, about 30, maybe a little more. And so he skips the whole part about, and so he focuses on certain events, and the focus that he gives on certain events tells us what he was concerned about or how he saw the whole picture of Jesus' life. And so let's look at this. If we're going to beat temptation, we first have to identify it. If you're going to beat temptation, if we're going to beat temptation, we have to first identify it as being temptation. And so know our enemy. Know your enemy. And know his strategies. Now, the demon's first attempt to compromise Jesus is not this one. This is his second attempt. The first attempt, if you go a little bit earlier, verse 12 in chapter 1. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. So even though he skips the whole birth story, he talks about here in the first half of the first chapter about two times that Jesus was tempted. And he uses enticement in the first story. Jesus offered all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you all the kingdom of the world if you just bow down to me. And that's the way of the evil one. He'll use enticement. He will lure us, call us in, to the point where we say to ourselves, either consciously or subconsciously, we'll say something like, I want that. Or I'm going to do that. I want that. So he'll lure us in because it looks so good and so, yes, I can't wait to have, I want that. And so that's the temptation of enticement. If Jesus had given in, he would have been defeated. And so the evil one's first strategy is to win Jesus away from his mission. Because if you get Jesus to say, yes, I want that, and to take it, he would have been called away and his mission, whole mission would have been compromised and it would have failed. But Jesus successfully resisted. And so Satan had to try a new strategy. You know, that's so much like temptation. We defeat it one time. Feel good about ourselves, don't we? Sure we do. Don't get overconfident because it'll come back. And maybe it'll come back in a different strategy. Because the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, after Jesus was tempted the first time, at the end of that he says, and he left Jesus until an opportune time. Until the next time presented itself. Cannot get too confident when we win over temptation. The demon is still lurking around. Four verses later, okay, Mark says, oh man, this is so important. It took about a month, we think, between the first incident when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and this particular situation. About a month. Jesus is now speaking in the synagogue in Capernaum. The demon shows himself. He's a mole, remember? He's a secret possession. He hasn't shown himself for however long he's been with this person. But he finally pops up when Jesus comes around. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And so this is the second attempt by Satan to stop Jesus. Mark knew that a spiritual battle was going on. So when we realize what he wrote about, he says, there is a battle between good and evil here. There is a battle between God and Satan going on here. I've got to make sure that people who read this gospel understand what's happening on a universal scale between God and the evil one. Mark's emphasis in this chapter is that Jesus is battling the evil one, and the evil one is trying to stop Jesus. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are. This is not enticement. This is a different strategy. This is a power effort to dominate. He calls him out by name, and whenever you name somebody, that means you're over it. It's a call to dominate, a call to be over that. But power in the wrong hands is dangerous, isn't it? Power in the wrong hands is so very dangerous. Have you come to destroy us? And he plants a negative thought into all the hearers. It's designed to cause fear in the listeners. Oh, maybe this guy's teaching us, but he really wants to destroy us. It's designed to intimidate Jesus. It says, well, if I admit to that I'm the Holy One of God, then they'll accuse me of blasphemy and they'll get rid of me. The people in Nazareth already tried to kill him once because they thought he was blaspheming. So the demon was using intimidation tactics. Used a little bit of truth to turn it against Jesus. And the question was designed to put fear in the people and in Jesus. He's not trying to entice anymore. He's trying to put fear into Jesus. If Satan could not turn Jesus away from his mission, that was the enticement, he would try to turn the people away from Jesus. Catch that? If he couldn't turn Jesus away from his mission, he would try to turn the people away from Jesus. The people were just starting to find out who this Jesus was. And he wanted to plant it early. This is somebody you need to be afraid of. Because this guy is going to hurt you. No, it's the truth. It's not the truth. It's the sin that's going to harm, right? That's the sin that's going to harm. The same ploy today. Satan tries to tell us that sin is your friend. Sin is comforting. Sin is fun. Sin is exciting. Oh, sin is good. Let's go for it. Beloved, if we're going to know our enemy, we have to call it our enemy. Sexual relationships outside of marriage is hurtful. And it's sin. Lying destabilizes relationship. And it's sin. Theft takes advantage of others. And it's sin. Hurting others is abusive. And it's sin. Being drunken brings insecurity into relationships. Pride distances ourselves from God. Call sin what it is. Our culture now does not call sin, sin. Our culture calls it something different. And so we're not having illicit sexual relations. We're sleeping together. We're engaged in an alternative lifestyle. No, beloved, that's called sexual sin. We have free expression. No, that's called pride. Full term abortion is not pro-choice, beloved. It is murder. Call sin what it is. Know your enemy. Know your enemy. Our culture softens sin. Oh, it's just a little white lie. No, it's not. So when we're tempted, turn to Jesus. Because our culture is trying to do the same thing that the demon did with Jesus in that synagogue, and that is to separate us from Jesus. See, the demon tried to separate Jesus from the people. And our culture is trying to do the same thing. Separate us from Jesus. No prayer in schools anymore. No cross on public property. It's trying to separate us from Jesus. It's the same strategy. He wanted to isolate Jesus, and he wants to isolate us. Move away from them. He'll use every means possible to separate us from Jesus. If he cannot get us by enticement, he'll try to get us by intimidation. Look at Jesus' response. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. To win against temptation, not only do we have to know who the enemy is and understand his strategies, we have to know our resources. First of all, what we are capable of doing, because there are a lot of temptations that we are able to stand against. Because we just know better. We just, either that or we don't particularly like that particular form of temptation. We just know better. I'm not into murdering people, so, you know, it's not a problem for me. I could probably stand against that temptation. Probably. But other places, you know, I need help. So know our resources. First of all, our abilities and limits, and also what God can do. Jesus asserted his authority over the evil spirit, and the demon was cast out of him. He silenced the evil spirit and drove it from the man. Jesus has authority and power over evil spirits. And you know, beloved, that's a hallelujah. Amen? That's a hallelujah. Thank God that someone does. Otherwise, the evil one will be full upon us. But God holds it back. Jesus always has a response to temptation. He would not be intimidated. And that's why 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that. No temptation has seized you, but except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you're able. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. All in followers of Jesus Christ call on Jesus to help them when they're tempted. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. That's why James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Because if Jesus is around, he's not fleeing from us. He's fleeing from Jesus. Because Jesus is in us. Amen? Amen. Tell that person next to you, hey, there's help for you. Go ahead, tell them, there's help for you. So how to win over temptation? First, do not dabble with temptation. Dabble. Dabble means to keep stuff around. Like an alcoholic who keeps alcohol in the cupboard. Like a person who's got a problem with lust, keeping pornography on the shelf or on his computer. I want to keep it around in case I want to mess around with it. Don't dabble with it. Get rid of it. It's almost as we think, well, I want to get a little close, but I can stop myself before I fully fall into temptation. I can stop myself. And so we dabble with it. We dance around it. And we keep it around because, oh, just this once. Or we say something, oh, you know, I've had a hard week and I need some relaxation. No, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Or we'll say, oh, I deserve it. I deserve it. Because I've been so good. Or we'll say, well, have you done this? Oh, those desserts look good. Well, since company is here and I don't want them to feel like I'm being snobbish, I'll take two. Okay. Then when sometimes we'll say, oh, no one's going to notice. Just this once. Ephesians 4:27, Paul says, do not give the devil a foothold. And if you read the section before that, it's because when we dabble, we leave it around. Not even toehold. Mistake is to try to fight temptation on our own strength. Beloved, we'll fall. We'll fall. We all know that, right? We'll fall. Must not try. We resist on our own strength as long as we could, but when it gets to the point where we need to call on Jesus, Lord, help me. And that's all we need to do. Say, Lord, help me. We know that we're resisting on our own strength, because if we don't fail, if we stand up to it, we begin to feel self-confident. And we also begin to look at others who did fall and we feel superior to them and judgmental to them. So if we feel like we're better than someone else, that means we're resisting on our own strength. Be careful of that, beloved. Pride is a sin as well. So the second way to win over temptation, call on Jesus for help. Lord, the temptation is strong. Help me. I can feel the stirrings inside me. Help me. Help me resist. Hebrews 2:18 says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Use of scripture definitely helps if you know a scripture that applies. But if you don't know a scripture, that's okay. Just say, help me, Lord. I need your help. You know what the good news is? The good news is that though we who struggle with sin and vice and addiction and fear and rage, the sinful patterns that we've never been able to overcome, God offers us the power and authority to change our lives. That's the good news of Scripture. God offers us the power to change our lives. We just need to ask Him for help. Ask Him for the help. Amen? Ask Him for the help. Thirdly, when we fall, confess and ask for forgiveness. Even if it's the 77th time that we fall on this particular kind of sin, say, Lord, I fell again. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And you know what? He will. That's good news, folks. He will. Let's look at the result. What did the people do? Mark reports, this is the people's reaction. Verse 22, verse 27, verse 32. The people were in awe. Wow, who is this man who can do all these things? Look at verse 32. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And I would bet that even if you weren't sick, I'd be pretty curious, wouldn't you? I want to go check that out. He can do what? I got to go see that. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. They were in awe. Look what Jesus can do. Look what Jesus did. Remember, Satan's strategy was to what? To separate the people from Jesus. Right? That was Satan's strategy. Look what happened. The people from the whole town came down to see Jesus. They were so attracted to what he could do that they came to see Jesus. Satan's strategy failed because of Jesus. Failed because of Jesus. He can help you win. Let me make an application here. Satan's strategy is to destroy your marriage and separate you from your spouse. Satan's strategy is to separate you from your children. Satan's strategy is to separate you from your Christian friends. That's Satan's strategy. Too many times in our culture it works. But Jesus can take that strategy and reverse it. Reverse it. So that our marriages, are drawn together. So our parents and children, we're drawn together. So our friends in Christ are drawn together. Jesus can change the strategy. If we will know who our enemy is, know his strategies, be determined to resist, and call on Jesus to bring the victory. Amen? Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, bring victory into our lives. Bring victory into our lives. We ask that you defeat Satan's strategies to separate us from you and separate us from those we love and care about, so that our lives might reflect the power of your name and message and promise in our lives. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.